Well, we are lucky enough to be joined in the studio now by Jerry Vandiver of Nashville, Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter.
Hi there.
Welcome back.
I'm here to fill the room with more music.
Yeah, he was watching me when I said that.
I am. It's going to remember that one.
The big sound of Jerry Vandiver.
Fighting words, I think, Dick.
But we started out right, didn't we?
Oh, too fun. So welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I think this is about my fifth or sixth time here.
Is it?
Pretty amazing.
That's
great. You had me back after all the other times.
We feel very lucky.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be here last time.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. I know. Buck's missing out.
Yeah. He's been here before.
I think he's avoiding me for some reason. I must owe him some $20 or something because...
Write a song about...
Where's Buck?
Yeah.
That's the name of the song. He's not here when I'm here anymore. Anyway.
No, I don't know where.
You know, by the way, I want to... Carrie mentioned something earlier about that there's no difference between a violin and a fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, actually, in the South, there is.
Oh, okay. Do tell us.
Yeah, a violin has strings. Uh-huh. A fiddle... has strangs.
Strang.
There's a big difference.
Yeah. Sounds that way. Huge.
And they don't play no violin down there too often.
Not very often. No.
Oh, that's good. So you are here. You just were on a canoe trip.
I did a couple of days out of Sawbill, and we played a little songwriter's jam with Frosty and Bill Hansen up at Sawbill last night. That was fun. And before then, played a paddle festival in Rockford, Illinois, and then stopped in at Wisconsin Public Radio, and here I am now on the way to Tuscarora for tomorrow.
Well,
yeah,
we're glad we caught you.
We've had Rockford, Illinois connections here.
I know.
They're from Rockford. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Small world.
It is.
Is that a big city?
No, that's why it's so unusual.
That's kind of odd, huh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So. And you were telling me when we spoke earlier today about something pretty cool you're doing on Monday. I want our listeners to know about that.
Monday, I'm heading out to Isle Royale, and I checked the ship is good. So I'm going I'll take the Dramamine and head out.
The weather is going to be good too, and the winds are light.
I'm so glad to hear that.
It's going to be good.
The same problem man has with motion sickness. Mm. So, but I'm looking forward to that, and I'm going to play a couple of Canfire concerts in Rock Harbor, one on Monday night, one on Tuesday night.
Great.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Have you been to Isle Royale
before? I have not. Everybody tells me that it's heaven on earth.
Magical.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm ready to go and stay
Well,
there.
When you take that boat out, too, you get the whole island experience.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's a beautiful
thing. I know.
And you're going to have good weather, I promise you.
I'm glad to hear that. Definitely.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
So a paddle, what did you say it was in Rockford, a paddle festival?
Paddle festival, yeah. You know, it's interesting. The sport seems to be growing, I've noticed not only in Tennessee but Illinois, there's just a new proliferation of little festivals around areas that have rivers and water reservoirs and stuff. And they're just pointing out not only the joys of the sport but pointing out the need for clean water and things around that sport. So mostly the paddle festivals are people showing up, and there's outfitters that let you get in kayaks and canoes, and there's people that. There's anything from lessons about how to use a kayak pedal to how to start a fire in the rain. And then there's every once in a while they have me playing music about it. So it's really fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not the only paddle festival you've been to. You've been to several here.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I've got your printout of your schedule.
Itinerary there. Yeah. It's really lately in particular they've really picked up, and it's just been really fun.
I bet.
Really enjoyed it, yeah.
Now, do they have those... stand-up paddle boards like we were talking to those filmmakers about?
They do, and I tried it once, and it was okay.
But you're gonna
I can't imagine.
You're not going
to
sell your canoe.
No, definitely not going to do that for a paddle board. No, it was fun, though. It does seem to attract a younger generation.
Yeah, I know.
You know, a few...
It's
people
kind of like
all
the mountain bike trails we were building around here now.
Yeah.
They're pretty young people trails.
Yeah.
It's a young people sport.
Well, Jerry,
but anybody can do them. I mean,
sure.
you just got to be careful when you get to be my age.
We won't tell you.
Not take a tumble off the bike.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry, we're so happy to have you here.
Yeah.
Will you play a song right away?
I would love to. I'm getting ready to start putting together. I've been putting together some songs for a new recording project, and I've got some new paddle songs. I'm going to do a couple of other ones. It's kind of like songs about life, love, and paddling a canoe and everything else around it. And I was thinking about originally calling the CD Mixed Bag, but now I'm going to call it Mixed Dry Bag.
I love
it. We all have dry
bags
nowadays.
Yeah. Everybody's got one. So this is a brand new song. One of the things I love to do, I'm not a Navy SEAL when I go out paddling like some people are. I go out and I chill. And just a couple of days ago, I did this very song, and that's just you sit down on a rock and you just watch the world go by. Mm-hmm. And that's what this song is about. I wish Carrie was here. I'd ask her to jam on it because this does have a pretty cool fiddle part. You'll just have to imagine her playing it. But this is called Sit on a Rock. Starts up like this. There we go. Sit on a rock with my feet in the water, rid of any thought that maybe I oughta get on, get up, get moving, for the day is shot. Oh no, this old world's gonna keep on spinning, whether or not I'm here in it, and I can make mine come to a drop dead stop when I sit on a rock. No, I'm in no hurry to let my worries get the best of me. No, when I see them coming, well, it ain't nothing for me to leave and head to a place I know where I can take them all and let them go. When I sit on a rock with my feet in the water, rid of any thought that maybe I oughta get on, get up, get moving, for the day is shot. Oh no, this old world's gonna keep on spinning, whether or not I'm here in it, and I can make mine come to a drop dead stop when I sit on a rock. Yes, I know it's a tough job, and someone's got to make the sacrifice. So I step up and do my part and sit and watch those clouds go by. 'Cause when I'm out there, I've learned that busy is nothing but a four-letter word. Well, I'll sit on a rock with my feet in the water, whether or not maybe I oughta get on, get up, get moving, for the day is shot. Oh no, 'cause this old world's gonna keep on spinning, whether or not I'm here in it, and I'm gonna keep mine down to a drop-dead stop when I sit on a rock. No email, no cell phones, no Facebook friends I don't know, no hashtag, no YouTube, just a little different point of view. When I sit on a rock with my feet in the water, ready or not, and maybe I oughta get on, get up, get moving, for the day is shot. Oh no, 'cause this old world's gonna keep on spinning, whether or not I'm here in it, and I can make mine come to a drop dead stop. Yes, I'm gonna give it my best shot when I sit on a rock. There you go.
Gary Vanderveer, excellent.
I almost filled the room with that.
You did fill the room with that. You did fill it.
We're never going to live this down. That was wonderful, Jerry.
Thank you.
You know,
it was fun.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I love your music because it sounds so delightful and happy, but also you always have some fun little turn of phrase like busy isn't anything but a four-letter word or whatever that was. Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Actually, that's my favorite line.
That's very fun.
Because it kind of came to me. Well, busy's a four-letter word.
You know, you're talking about the Navy SEAL approach to canoe trips. And,
yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people don't think about how therapeutic this whole thing is out here.
Exactly right, which is the reason I go.
Of course. Yeah. And it's the reason there's a reason I go anymore for sure. And, you know, we've talked to a number of psychologists and psychiatrists and so on this program about the experience of nature being such an important therapeutic thing, you know. And you just nailed it with that song.
Well, thank
That's
you.
Beautiful.
I'm glad you like it. So I'll put it on the record with your approval.
Yeah, for
okay,
sure.
Good.
Yeah. No,
so
I always.
On, go ahead.
I keep talking too much, don't I?
Go ahead. Not at all.
No, I'm just thinking. The last time you were here, you sang your little song about me and Molly.
Did I do that last time?
You did.
Okay. Well, I won't do it this time.
Yeah. No. You can if you want.
No, it's okay.
And that resonated so much with me. I've got this little dog called Lily, only she's not so little because she dumped me in the canoe the other day.
Dogs are good at that.
And I always think of that song.
Well, thank you. That when you dump your canoe, you think of me. Okay.
I thought of it.
Maybe you could have a side business, Jerry, telling people how to entice their dogs to get into a canoe, because mine won't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's interesting. Actually, I know, speaking of the paddle festival, there's a woman in Chattanooga that tours paddle festivals and does clinics on paddling with your dogs. So I tell you, the next paddle festival, you can come down and talk to her.
All right.
Yeah. Your dog won't get in your canoe?
She won't. She doesn't like anything that moves under her feet.
Your dog is so small, you pick her up and set her in the canoe.
And she'll probably jump right out and flip the canoe.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, and she's so terrified.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, don't do that to
no,
her.
No.
Yeah.
No, a couple tries and I was done.
That's it.
I'm like, nah, you can stay on the dock.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. If you just joined us, we've got Jerry Vandeveer in the studio. He's a Nashville singer-songwriter who, I guess he joins us every summer. I can say that now.
Yeah, it's part of my tour, quote unquote.
Yeah, you're also, where else did I see you? Are you going up to Tuscarora?
Playing Tuscarora Lodge tomorrow night, and looking forward to that. I think this is the sixth time that I've been up there.
Yeah,
and just great folks up there, and it's turned into this really fun tradition. And in fact, there's a couple of staffers up there that one plays a mandolin and one plays a violin, and they're going to sit in for a couple of songs with me.
And
it's really, really a great time.
Yeah, that's a beautiful spot up there.
It is. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. And that's open to the public, Jerry?
Oh, yeah. Anybody that wants to come up can come in. It's the dining hall at 7:30.
Sixth annual dining hall concert.
Yep.
7:30 p.m.
Yep.
193 Round Lake Road.
And it's even free.
Yeah.
What more could you want?
Just drive up and enjoy the fun.
Maybe pick some blueberries along the way.
Definitely. Yeah, it's plenty
up there. Did you find any when you were out?
You know, I did not. I saw a few raspberries, but I didn't see any blueberries where I was. So
I've heard some bad things about the scene this year.
It's not a fabulous year.
Not a good year.
No.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Oh, well, I heard there's a lot of raspberries out there, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are.
There are.
It's the next best thing.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, you can still get blueberries, but you really have to work hard, I think, is what I've heard.
Not like the years where you just plunk down and literally just
spot.
Sit and
scarf
spin on your rear and pick them up all around you. You know?
Okay.
So I see you put, is that a capo?
I put a, you're good, yeah.
On your guitar. And for this next one, Dick, will you pull the blue mic over to, I want a mic.
I will.
I want a mic guitar separately.
Okay.
Yeah, because then I can get better.
I'm glad you asked Dick to do that, because, Dick, I've actually warned Ann about this next song.
Oh, geez.
Which means I'm going to need some participation help.
Oh,
all right? Everybody's leaving the studio now. I'm in here by myself. A minute. So one of the joys that I always get when I come up here, and my trip really, in my opinion, hasn't started until I hear a loon. And every time I hear that loon, I always just say thank you. Mm-hmm. I know this may sound a little funny, but I hear this song in my head. And it's a parody of an old 60s classic. There was a group way back in 1960 had a number one song. They were called the Fleetwoods. And their song was called Mr. Blue. Do you remember that song, Dick?
Yeah,
you're too young, I know.
Yeah, oh no.
Okay. It goes.
The 60s?
It was 1960. It was number one song.
Too old.
Interesting thing about that song is that it was written by a guy, a Nashville songwriter named Dwayne Blackwell. He wrote it when he was 17. He also wrote Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places. Hmm. So he's done quite well with just two songs. But anyway, and we played the Bluebird one time, and he played this song, and the whole audience sang along with him. And the original song goes, "Hi, Mr. Blue." And the background goes, "Whoa, whoa." Okay?
I think that's
us. Does it kind of sound familiar?
Whoa, whoa.
That's close enough. And then it goes, "It's so good to see you." And then they go, "Mr. Blue." Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
This may be a disaster, huh? A train wreck is on the way here at WTIP.
I've been nervous about this for days.
Ann can easily
shut
off our mics.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if that happens, we'll do that.
Just let the professional continue.
So what I've done is I've taken that song and written a loon lyric to it. And we actually played this at Cornucopia in Madison last year, and it was quite surprisingly successful. Everybody out there sang along, so if you don't sing along, you're going to be very lonely in the crowd.
How about this, Dick? I'll turn our mics down so that...
It just needs a little background.
All right.
Yeah, and I'll kind of signal you. So let's give this a try and see what happens. And, you know, if your listeners out there... Don't turn off the radio.
It'll be over soon.
It'll be over soon.
Bear with us.
So this is not, now it's not Mr. Blue, but it's Mr. Loon. Okay?
Okay.
It's been so long since I've been where I hear the lonely loon. But I know soon that I'll be there and get to sing this tune. Hi, Mr. Loon, whoa, whoa, it's so good to see you, Mr. Loon. It's so nice to hear your song again, and not a moment too soon. Hello, Mr. Loon. See, that's not so hard. Here's the second verse. Here we go. Say, Mr. Loon, whoa, whoa, do you think that maybe, Mr. Loon, you could stay a little longer now and by the light of the moon? I hope so, Mr. Loon. I'll be here tonight, here tonight by the campfire light. And when you sing, you will bring a smile, oh, Mr. Loon, Mr. Loon.
Whoa, whoa.
How I hate to leave here.
Mr. Loon.
No. Mr. Let's try that. Mr. Loon. There you go. But you know that I'll be back again. And I hope you will too. So long, Mr. Loon. Whoa, whoa. Hello, Mr. Loon. Whoa, whoa. Thank you, Mr. Loon. I was going to say not bad, but I'm not going to say that.
No, don't say that. It was,
you tried.
It was
tried.
Unfortunate that we had the rehearsal on the air.
I'm not quitting my day job. Yeah. How about you, Dick?
No, I don't take directions very
What
well.
A sweet song, though.
Isn't that a neat song?
I feel that way, too, when I'm up the Gunflint Trail and hear that song. It's
an important part of the experience.
It really is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you always get it. Too. I mean, you almost.
Fortunately, yes. Every once in a while, it may come a day late. I remember I've been out, right. And didn't hear it the first day. And I go, man, I hope the loon shows up because it's not a complete trip without it.
No,
not at all.
And it's often, well, almost always at night. You know, I mean, of course, you hear them in the daytime too, but the nighttime ones are the special ones.
Yeah, that's the special one.
And I wondered about that. I really don't know much about loons or really anything. So. Are they nocturnal, or why are they?
You know, it does seem like they don't sleep, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I've certainly seen them very active in the daytime as well as hearing them at night. So
we'll have to ask.
Maybe they take a lot of naps.
Our on-air naturalist, Chelly Anderson, about that sometime.
Yeah,
because I mean, you wake up at 3 a.m. and they're calling and
wildly calling.
Yeah.
Is your whole record that you're about to do, is it all paddling songs?
No, I'm going to do. I've got a song. I'm not sure I did it last year or not. There was, I think I might have, but I'd love to do it again. I'm going to do a couple of other ones. I've got a song I'm writing about one of my former family members named Sheila. She was a 14-year-old black shepherd, and I've got a song about her that I'm working on. And then I've got this one. If you'll allow me to retune my guitar,
of course.
This is a song we've talked about this song in the past because this was a. This was recorded by a bluegrass group in North Carolina.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Called New Blue. And not yet. Never tune on the air. I know.
Well,
anyway,
we just rehearsed on the air. Too,
yeah, well, that's true. We're breaking all the rules. As it turns out, you know, it's funny. I have a friend of mine who's a great songwriter in Nashville, and he one day was sitting down with an icon in the songwriting field. His name is Harlan Howard. Harlan wrote like over 2,000 songs that have been recorded, big hits and stuff. And they were putting down a couple one day, and Harlan said to my friend Will, I said, you know, son, if you want to be a songwriter in this town, you got to go through a couple of divorces. And he did, and he's been doing real well now, come think of it. But this is a song that actually came about as a result of me pulling up one day behind my ex-wife. I recognized her, her eyes. I could see her eyes in the rearview mirror because I was right behind her. And I also saw the car I was still making payments on. It was quite clear. And it made me, it let me reflect on the way things have gone and where we've been since then. And so I got together with a friend of mine and we wrote this song. So this is the song, I'm going to put this on the record, but this is the song that was also recorded by the Bluegrass Group. They did a video on it, by the way. And if I remember right, last year I was here, we were actually in the running for a Song of the Year nomination. But we didn't make it. So anyway, so what do they know?
And it's called.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to put this version, not a bluegrass version, on. This is called Trains I Didn't Take. So we're out of the paddle song era here a little bit, and you don't have to sing, Dick. It's okay. Red lights were flashing, the crossing gate came down. I pulled up behind her as the train was coming round. There in her rear view, I got a clear view. I'd know those baby blues anywhere. She was the one who offered everything. Love and affection, complete security. I could have played it safe, but it's not like me to take the road somebody else has already paved. There were bridges I dared to cross, chances taken, chances lost, dreams I chased, dreams I tossed, but there are no mistakes, only choices that I made that brought me here to this place and made me who I am today with no regrets for trains I didn't take. I heard she climbed right up the social ladder, picture perfect wife, happy ever after, 2.2 kids, gated residence, the white picket fence that couldn't fence me in. There were bridges I dared to cross, chances taken, chances lost, dreams I chased, dreams I tossed, but there are no mistakes, only choices that I made that brought me here to this place, made me who I am today, with no regrets for trains I didn't take. The gates lifted and she crossed the tracks, and in the glow of her tail light, I sat there for a moment, took one last look back, and she went left and I went right. There were bridges I dared to cross, chances taken, chances lost, dreams I chased, dreams I tossed, but there are no mistakes, only choices that I made that brought me here to this place and made me who I am today, with no regrets for trains I didn't take. Trains I didn't take.
Jerry Vanderveer, psychiatrist.
That's wonderful. Some great observations in that song.
Thank
Jerry.
Yeah, well, they were all there right in front of me.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
No,
I remember that song now. It's beautiful. I love
it. Thank you. Yeah.
Really fun.
Yeah. It's a special one to me, too.
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. It means a lot.
Nice.
I don't think she's ever heard it.
Oh, really?
I don't think she even knew I was behind her that day either.
Oh.
Well, it's a good thing. She probably wants some of the royalties on it. Let's keep it away from her, you know?
It's pretty cool to hear that explanation, too, and make the song seem much more significant.
Yeah, it wasn't just made up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about that. Are most of your songs come from things that happen to you,
most,
or things you see, or...
Yeah, or something maybe a co-writer sees. You know, sometimes... we'll sit down and you know, say, well, what's going on in your world? And maybe the co-writer will talk about something that happened that weekend with the family or whatever. And next thing you know, a song is born out of that. And even a silly song, you know, has some substance in it, you know, and something that I can at least personally relate to in some way or another. So, yeah, I mean, that isn't to say that every song out there in the ether isn't a well-crafted, meaningless song, you know, but I think the songs that mean something always do really come from a place that is important to the writers, and it certainly is for me, you know. I mean, the times that something does come out that really isn't really a part of what I am, the song falls flat for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oftentimes, if you know, I've over the years in Nashville, I've had four publishing deals, four publishing contracts, and oftentimes the publisher will say, hey, Reba's cutting in 2 weeks, and she needs an up-tempo song, you know, about a heartbreak. And, you know, and I guarantee you that if we say, okay, and we sit down and write that song, it doesn't come to fruition, you know, because it's you know, I'd rather just write, and I think the great writers do this for the most part. They write a song that means something and then eventually hope that it finds a home.
Yeah, it's not on demand. You're not writing
on
demand.
It has never been successful for me that way. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the purest songwriter that we have. I mean, a lot of people come on singer-songwriter kind
sure.
of guys, you know.
Yeah.
But you must get up every day thinking, what am I doing?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of interesting. I know a lot of people think, well, how does that happen? But I can tell you that when you're in the middle of the competition, and it's competition, serious. I mean, there's an estimated 40,000 songwriters in Nashville. Yeah. Now, I don't know, of that 40,000, we can whittle that down to about 4,000 or 5,000 that are seriously pursuing the business. But that's about, you know, people moved to Nashville to be songwriters, among other things, and that's one. But when you do write every day, because productivity is an important part of the factor of the music business, you would think that, and it does kind of sometimes have a tendency to burn you out, and that's why I go canoeing, actually. Yeah. But it does actually, what happens, I have found, is that your subconscious kicks in gear and it says, okay, you can be creative at any time. And if you let that happen, it does come out. It used to be, you know, oh, I've known writer. Oh, I can only write with my 3 a.m. inspiration. You know, and there's nothing wrong with 3 a.m. inspirations. I've come up with some good ones, but you can really sit down and let your subconscious, flow mm-hmm. through you, and really listen to it. Some good stuff can come out.
Sure, that's more advice he's given.
There you go.
Just
wow,
beautiful.
I feel totally edified after this conversation.
Yeah, this is great.
So I don't know what edified means.
Really?
But okay.
So do you bring a guitar when you go out in the canoe?
Not when I'm out on the water.
Okay.
No, but I have written songs out there, have been very pleased with them. And you know, the one thing I've learned though is I do need to bring some sort of tape recorder, because one time I wrote a song out there and I didn't have a tape recorder, and I did have my journal because I do journal. Okay, so I wrote the lyrics down, but I needed to remember that melody, and I caught myself for 4 days singing the song over and over and over, so it would
so
you know, find a home.
You know, you can get that audio. There's a couple audio programs for your cell phone.
You know, I have lost my cell phone to a couple of waves of water in the past, so the cell phone stays with my guitar. Yeah. So, but I have some little miniature, you know, mini cassette recorders and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
that you find in garage sales now.
Right. You know. Yeah, there are not so many tapes anymore.
But. Yeah.
Oh, that's very fun. Yeah. That's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Cool. So tomorrow night at Tuscarora.
Yes.
7:30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you head to Isle Royale on Monday.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Just in case any of our listeners are out there, which evenings are you playing there?
Monday evening and Tuesday evening. And all I know that it's somewhere near Rock Harbor. So hopefully they have some information there at Rock Harbor.
Yeah, there's
about
a campground right near Rock Harbor.
I'd almost guarantee you that's where I'm playing then.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, although there's some nice buildings there too, and maybe they're going to
Well, depending on weather, but I'm pretty sure that the people I've been communicating with have told me it's going to be, one's going to be at that campground, and then they said it's going to be another campground somewhere nearby.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So since the big boss, Buck, isn't here, we're going to go rogue and skip our usual closing music since we have
Excellent.
You in the studio.
Do you have time for me to tune up a little bit?
Yes, and I actually am looking at the clock, and we probably have time for two songs.
Oh, really? Okay.
If you've got them.
Oh, yeah.
And I also wanted to mention that on your schedule, I see Ely mentioned. You're going to Ely?
Yes.
August 15th.
Yep. Going to be do a house concert there, although I call it a garage concert because we actually
garage,
do it in a garage.
Lucky Boy Farms. So folks that are listening from up there, Jerry will be in your backyard.
Yeah. And then I'm actually going to play in Alexandria on August 16th. There's a restaurant there. Of all things, in Minnesota, there's a restaurant called Tennessee Roadhouse. And
whoa.
And the fiddle player plays a fiddle with strings in that place.
Strings.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And if I don't get to say it before we go off, thank you so much for being here, Jerry.
It's just always a pleasure. So much fun. I really do look forward to it every year. I plan my trips around the Roadhouse.
Yeah, awesome.
So this next song, I have to tell you, when I was sitting in Studio B there listening to Carrie play and everything, I saw my CD on a stack, my very first CD. I have four of them. I saw it on the stack over there, and I didn't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign.
It's a good sign. Yeah. That means our wonderful music director was playing one
Excellent,
of your
excellent. Okay. So this is a song off of that CD. That CD is called Don't Try This at Home, and we were talking earlier about finding a home for your song. Sometimes you find unusual places, and this song, I wrote it with a friend of mine, speaking of how that came about. We were having no ideas were coming up. We're at what we joyfully called a co-staring session instead of a co-writing session. And then he said, you know, I heard this story one time, and I don't know if it's a song in it or not. And I said, oh, that's a great story. And so we wrote this. This is called The Heel of the Bread. And I'll save the whole story for you because it really is a neat turnaround, and at least I think so. And I've had, on three separate occasions, the song's never been recorded except on my CD. It's been pitched a bunch, but nothing ever happened with it. And on three different occasions, I've had three ministers, one Unity minister, one Baptist minister, and one Methodist minister, tell me that they use this song in their marriage counseling. Yeah, and I was really honored. I thought, well, you know, some songs find different homes. So if it, you know, didn't help my marriage any, but at least the first one. Second one's doing great. So this is called The Heel of the Bread. Thursday nights, Betty made a roast. Lester would buy a warm loaf from the bakery after work at 5. Betty set the china plates. Lester said the nightly grace and carved the meat and bread with pride. And then he'd pass the heel along to her. Because she loved him, she choked it down without a word. Well, ain't it funny how we let our feelings go unsaid? And the time we lose when intentions are misread. And ain't it sad how we misjudge so many signs of love, like Lester and Betty and the heel of the bread. Twenty years of Thursday nights, Betty somehow wore a smile and kept her protest quietly concealed. But one night after a long, hard day, she threw that hated heel away, and with angry words her resentment was revealed. Lester shook his head and said, "If I had known, I gave it to you 'cause it's the part I love the most." Ain't it funny how we let our feelings go unsaid, and the time we lose when intentions are misread? And ain't it sad how we misjudge so many signs of love, like Lester and Betty and the heel of the bread? Like Lester and Betty and the heel of the bread.
Oh, once again.
Wow, I'm touched.
Good lesson.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
That's my job, is to teach lessons. Yeah, but you know, isn't that the truth, though, about relationships? We don't communicate, and we don't know what each other really wants and needs if we just said so.
Yeah.
How sweet.
I'm not talking because that's so sweet. It really made me cry. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Could you make
it's on my CD if you want to play it sometime.
Only when I don't have to talk on the air. Uh-oh, we only have 30 seconds.
Oh,
I guess we don't have time for
for the Grand Marais song.
Maybe you could just play a few bars.
It was far north of ordinary, near Artist Point, where she stole my heart. And it's a memory that I still carry. Touch